lives are in your hands, that you are our Father. Your Son has done a phenomenal job in drawing us to you through his shed blood. And the Holy Spirit has been an incredible comfort to us through these days. And we trust that that comfort will be especially for Suzanne and Richard through this rest of the weekend and into this new week. We pray for comfort for those that are not able to be here today. We think of Bruce and pray for his recovery from this illness. Thank you for touching Leanne. We pray for Colin and Marg. And we ask, oh God, for those that are not able to be with us. We pray for Betty this morning with this concern she has in her lungs. We pray that the Lord, that you will give her an answer supernaturally or even through the doctors. We also pray, Father, for Colleen in all the grief that she is dealing with through this weekend, and be very close to her. We also want to thank you, Lord, for opportunities for ministry. I thank you for these men and their willingness to go out and sing about you. We testify in ways that are far beyond just being in church or having a smile or a greeting. And so, Lord, would you work through us this week, because we are the world's Bible. They see Jesus often only through us. And so, Lord, may we be good ambassadors this week. May we have a kindness. May we have a sensitivity. May we have a direction from the Lord, from you, in terms of timing. There's maybe people you want us to talk to, or situations you want us to follow up with. There may be opportunities for serving and for helping. Father, we are amazed at your timing. Even as we were hearing from Christian today, as his mom was sharing, he walks through the doors of this church. So, Lord, you know what to do and when to do what it is you need to do, and we just want to be available. Use us. May we be your hands and feet in these days. And, Father, I just thank you for different forms of protection. Thank you for blessing Mono and Chabo as they were down in Jamaica. Thank you for protecting Betty on this trip. We pray your protection and great enjoyment for the Robinsons as they head to Israel. As Don and Steve see things they may have never seen in their lives before, may it stir up things that will build their faith as they're in this country of your birthplace. We also want to thank you for looking after our family members, and Lord, we are concerned about different ones. Don is concerned about her brother-in-law and for her elderly friend, Major Fred, is in these retirement years. We pray for Kelly with her back. Kathy, of course, needs a place to live come the end of the month. And we do pray for this opportunity that Mark and Leanne have as their fostering program. This young lady who will be coming to their house, would it be a tremendous opportunity for them to interact with her? Who knows what her life has been like? We do pray for the Thorntons and ask, oh God, your touch upon them. We rejoice with Carl at these 5 weeks of being pain-free in his back. And we do pray your continued powerful intervention in Judy's life. And Father, for all the things that you are doing in the seen and the unseen, you're looking after Sue's sister and that she would be brought back to you. And Father, we're all concerned about family members who have walked away from you for various reasons. We know it's not your fault. You don't drive anybody away from yourself. And so, Lord, our families matter to us and our friends matter to us. And would you, in your great, powerful mercy, draw them to yourself. And Lord, for the unspoken requests of this day, we thank you that you know everything even better than we know in our requests. And in that, may we also have a trust in you. You know what you're going to do, and it's far more than we could even ask or think. And so, Lord, again, we acknowledge our trust, our hope, our peace is in you. And all God's people said, amen. Bless the Lord. Worship team.
We now look to hear your word. Father, I pray your anointing come on our pastor, that he might speak the words, Father, that we need to hear. That, Father, we would be able to do all those things that you have for us to do. We give you praise now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, this week marks the 18th anniversary since 9/11. Do you remember where you were? Or where you was? It's interesting. I don't know if you caught on some of the different channels this week. History Channel, Discovery Channel, we're running different documentaries on 9/11 and what it effect it had on different people. I came across an article written by a fellow by the name of Garrett Graith. And he writes for The Atlantic Magazine. Now, by the way, did any of you know The Atlantic Magazine first started in 1857 in the States? And he has done a lot of research on the results or the resulting situation since that particular day. And he's written an article called Only on 9/11, Luck Meant Everything. Luck meant everything. So I'm going to read a couple of sections from this particular story. I think you'll find it fascinating. And the first story he talks about is a fellow by the name of Joseph Lott. He worked for Compaq Computers. He, on the September 11th of 2001, had put on a green shirt. And ladies, most of you know men don't know how to dress themselves well. True? Okay. He put on his green shirt, and he was at the Marriott Hotel between the two towers. He was supposed to speak at a conference on Windows of the World restaurant, which was on the 101st floor. And so while he was having his breakfast, a co-worker who'd come off holidays presented him with a tie. And it was a lovely tie. And so he was going to wear it. And she said to him, "Not with that shirt, you're not." So he went back to the hotel to change his shirt, put on this lovely tie. And as he went back to go to the 104th floor, he was in the lobby. He felt a sudden shaking of the building. That change of tie kept him alive. What's interesting is that Mr. Graff has written now a new book called The Only Plane in the Sky, An Oral History of 9/11, and he's literally researched thousands of stories of different folks and their choices they made on that particular day. And he said in the following, he said, "On 1,000 times a day, we all make arbitrary decisions. Which flight to book, which elevator to board, whether to run an errand, stop for coffee before work. We never realized the possibilities that an alternate choice might have meant. In the 18 years since 9/11, each of us," he said, "have literally made 1 million such decisions, creating a multitude of alternate outcomes we'll never know." Yeah. We would say that. Why did I go into Walmart? Why did I not go to the superstore? Timing like that. He says, over thousands of years, we call luck and fate by many names. In mythology, there are three fates. There were goddesses who handed out destiny, weaving a future that each mortal would be forced to live out. It's hard to believe, as I come away from the stories of 9/11 with a sense of anything, now this is Garrett writing, other than appreciation for the role that randomness plays in our daily lives. Randomness. Okay. Roger Clemens was supposed to have pitched his 20th win at home with the Yankees on September the 10th. The game was rained out. And so, literally, I'm down to the middle of page 2. And literally, because it was rained out, it got rescheduled. And many folks changed their plans to take the day off. If we look at some of the other folks, and I'll move down to the bottom of that page, dear. David Kravitz, he survived because one of the clients he was meeting that morning had forgotten his driver's license and so needed extra time to be checked in at the security desk before getting on the elevator. Now, a lady by the name of Monica Leary, who was 8.5 months pregnant, was asked to go down to the front, to the security desk, to do some work. And instead, her boss decided to go down instead. Well, what happened was this lady, just that day, got laid off. And so she cleared her desk and was being dismissed. But after 9/11, since all the human resources personnel were killed, she got rehired. Luck. If you take the Pentagon, remember the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, middle of page 3 here. An Army lieutenant said that the plane came into the building and literally went underneath our feet by a floor. Now, what was interesting about the thing with the Pentagon is that just the month before, the part of the building that was hit by the plane had just been upgraded to the highest security level possible, or it would have killed hundreds of more folks, and there were hundreds of folks who weren't in the area because of the renovation. When that plane came in, a bunch went to the right, two went to the left, and Lieutenant Army Colonel Rob Brunwell survived because he went left instead of right. What about the story of Captain J. Jonas of Ladder Company 6, crew of firefighters? They made a split-second decision to help save a woman, Josephine Harris, and in that, it put them in a sheltered spot. When the building collapsed, they were in a protected part of the stairwell and survived. This gentleman who wrote the article, Mr. Graff, goes on to say, there are so many points of luck that make you realize just how random life is. People say, oh, you were so smart to leave. Who knows? The way it turned out, was I smart to leave? I might have been smarter taking the elevator. There's so much luck in who lived and died. After reading and hearing thousands of these stories, the author goes on to say, it's hard not to be overwhelmed by the unfairness and the randomness of the day. Again, time and time again, what different individuals have said is the following. Page 4, dear. It's luck, nothing more than luck. It's fate, after all. Some were cursed, some were saved. One gentleman, Mike Warkala, he was a lieutenant in the fire department. He made his way up to the 40th floor of the North Tower. He was working some of his literal final hours for the New York Fire Department because he turned his retirement papers after 24 years of service and he didn't come out. But it was fate. In fact, Garrett goes on to say, we try so hard to downplay and outright ignore the chance roles that come in life, moving through it oblivious to the randomness of fate. Family, I don't believe for one second there's anything random in this life. I don't believe there's anything in this life that's up to fate. I don't think there's luck. I don't think there's chance. And I don't think there's fluke. And I want to unpack that for a couple of minutes because I think you and I need to know why we believe what we believe. The world wants us to believe that everything's just random. It was a lucky break. Oh, that was an amazing fluke that you got that $50,000 on that lottery ticket. Whoa! So I want to point out some things. First of all, there's nothing that I would call randomness. That's the first point I want you to understand. And we take it because of what we believe. The randomness doesn't exist because of Genesis. Genesis 1 says the following. In the beginning, God created fluke. Oh, I'm sorry. God created a lucky sphere. No. God created the heavens and the earth. And we could add, and everything in them. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God says, let's take a chance and make light. And the Holy Spirit said, what a lucky shot you had there, Father. And light came. Do you see how ludicrous it sounds when you line it up with Scripture about the reality of God? And with the world doesn't have God as their reality, what do they have? Fluke, luck, chance, randomness, pointlessness. God saw everything he made. Genesis 1:31 through chapter 2 and verse 4. It was very good. Oh, there was nothing fluky about it. Awesome. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Heavens and earth, all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And the Lord blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created, had created and made. Wasn't that lucky? That's true. This is the history of the heavens and the earth which were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. It's interesting, Daniel, if you've read Daniel lately, I love Daniel's faith. This man, imprisoned in a foreign country for all his life, he's praying to the Lord, and when he finally gets a chance to have an audience with the king, he stands before the king and he boldly says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons, and he removes kings and raises up kings, and he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding, and he reveals deep and secret things, and he knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Isn't that lucky? Whoa, that's amazingly random how God is like that. No, there's no randomness in God. And so therefore, now, what does it do for us? Because he gives purpose and meaning to you and I, because he made us. Right? So we're his people. And the reality is, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let's make it an evolutionary process. And we'll try to figure out as we go along. And if we get lucky, they'll start breathing. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all the earth, and over the creeping things that creep on the earth. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them, and he blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves. And hopefully it's not random. Have you ever seen what isn't in Scripture? Have you ever thought about the things that the world proposes are never written down in Scripture? And God said, isn't it lucky? And people said, oh, I'm so excited for this randomness in my life. I get to look after the fish and the birds. I hope I get a chance. God says, no, I'm giving you purpose and meaning. And it's very clear. God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Because of a fluke. I think the third thing we need to acknowledge is that God, if he's asked, wants to be an integral part of our life. You know, it was interesting, as I read these stories, not any one of them acknowledged the reality of God anywhere in their situation. If there was one thing that was noticeably absent, and I'm not saying it's the author's fault, but was noticeably absent was anything about the divinity and the supernatural power and reality of the living God. Oh, I just happened to be going to change my shirt and put on a different tie. Oh, I just happened to run left instead of right. Well, you know, I went to the bathroom and that delayed me. I just found out that I had the wrong time on my airline ticket, and I got to the airport 20 minutes late, missed my flight. God's in charge of our destiny. It says that we will come to Him and live in Him. God lives in us, and so the reality is, if God's living in us, is there any random in what He's doing? No. God's purpose starts with creating everything and then drawing us into that, and then He in turn living in us so that every day we have purpose, and never once then can we say, oh, isn't this a coincidence? What we can say is, isn't this an amazing God incidence? We saw it this morning. What are the odds that Vicky and Paul's son would walk through the door on a mistaken errand to make a point of praising that was being given at that moment to God? Boy, that was just, Vicky, that was so random. Wasn't it lucky he came in the door at that moment? That was amazing, fluky reality. That gives me undivine goosebumps. All right? Do you see what I'm trying to say? On every practical level of life, even God had Christian come through that door at that moment for what? For you and I to have our faith increased and to have a better understanding that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us that much. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 3, that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's not random. That's not fluke. You are children who've been overcome, and greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And so this brings us to the next point. Does God have an earthly plan for you and I, or is everything just random? Now, you and I can say, well, today I want to get up and I want to do such and such. I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to walk the dog when I get home from church. I'm going to get gas for the car first thing in the morning. I mean, there are things that are in life that are just part of life. But even in those things, are they random? Are they fluky? How many times those of you that have dogs and gone out to walk your dog have had amazing opportunities to talk with neighbors? Or situations where you saw something go on and you went to another house and knocked on the door and that person said, how did you know? Well, I was just walking by with my dog and I just thought I should. Is that random? Is that fluke? I was sitting in my office one day and I thought of a lady. And I'd counseled her son about 6 months earlier. I was working at my desk. I didn't have anybody coming in. There was nobody from the church or anything. And I just felt I had to call her. I picked up the phone, and the first thing I said is, hi. And I didn't even get a chance to say, it's John. And she goes, how did you know to call me today? Okay, all right, something big's coming down the pike right about now. And I said, I didn't know. She said, well, how did you know to call me? I said, I didn't know. Well, how did you call me? Funny, I said, God told me. He said, put an idea in my call. She says, you wouldn't believe it. I said, I think I must be believing it. I've got a reason to call you, and I'm about to hear it, so tell me what it is. She poured out a story of what had been happening to her family, and she said, you know, I thought about you yesterday morning. I thought, I need to talk to John, and you call me. said, well, isn't it interesting how God works? Because God needed you and I to have a chat because I needed to encourage you in these areas that God was going to help you in. She goes, I cannot understand how you would know to call me. Well, my wife says similar things. She goes, I don't understand how you would understand some things. My wife is very gracious. But, you know, because sometimes, guys, we're lugheads. I mean, it's just, we just don't get it. But that was obviously divine moment. And I listened to God. I didn't know why I was calling. And God said, this is not random. This is not a fluke. I hung up the phone. I sat there at my desk. I went, Lord, you're amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the other thing we need to keep in mind is that not only our life is hidden with God in Christ, but God is working in such a ways. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says that he will literally work in our lives to bring it to what? Completion. God's not working randomly with us. God has a plan and purpose that is consistent. He is about growing our faith, drawing us closer to himself, and nothing is fluky. Think back to some of the things the Lord has done in your life since you became a Christian. And if you look at it, you go, wow, if he'd shown me that back then, I wouldn't have got it. But having gone through this and this and this, when he showed me this, I understood it. God's timing. I had a lady one time in my office. She said to me, John, I don't think I'm ever going to get a job. I'm sinking into depression. I don't know what to think anymore. I said, I want to give you an idea. Could it be that the job you're going to get, because I'm absolutely going to get convinced you're going to get a job, is not yet even created? What do you mean? I said, do you not think God can be working behind the scenes to prepare something for you that absolutely fits who you are? Well, I don't know. I said, I believe that God's got things for you that are bigger than you could possibly imagine. She came back in my office 2 weeks later. You know what she said to me? John, the job I just got last week didn't exist 2 weeks ago when I was talking to you. That's what she said. But it's random. What a lucky break she got when the job got created. She got it. Wow. Talk about roulette. Finally, God has a heavenly plan for you and I. You know, what this world doesn't get is this is not the end of the run. And so, many of you remember that song, Send in the Clowns. If there's nothing, then let's just send in the clowns. I might as well stick my thumb in my mouth and wait and see what's going to happen next. Jesus said this, and Jesus gave this illustration, and Paul quoted it. He said, we are in an earthly house, and it's temporary. We have a home that's not made with human hands. It's eternal in the heavens. We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, 2 Corinthians 5. We are always confident, says Paul, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. It's not fluke. Our aim is that we might be pleasing to him, because what did Jesus say? Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and hopefully you'll get there with any luck. Right on. With any luck. That's not what Jesus said. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. Do not be overwhelmed in your brain. Remember what you know, because God's in charge. My Father is in charge, and I've got things set up, and things are coming. And when you're done this life, you're just going to become worm food. No. We're going into mansions. I like the fact there's not going to be any mortgages. I'll tell you, I used to dread high school exams. Now I am so looking forward to having no mortgage. Now, some of you don't have a mortgage, and you say, John, don't get too excited. You still got lots of costs. Well, right now, I would just like to have no mortgage. Just let me live in that bubble for a minute. And when we get to heaven, we're going to get what? A new mortgage. We're going to get what? In heaven, we're going to get what? What does he say? We're going to get a tiny house. How big's a mansion? Come on, gang. Think beyond your brain. Isn't that fluky? What a lucky break we're going to get. Well, Norm, we do get that too. I'm quite looking forward to what your new body's going to look like. Anything will be better. So here's what I want to say, and I'm not trying to be facetious, but I think this is a very important point in our thinking as Christians. The world goes by luck, by fluke, by chance, by randomness, by coincidence. That's not for you and I. We do not think that way because we believe in a God who runs the universe and a God who has everything under control, whether we live or die. Because sometimes we think, isn't that awful? That person died so young. And no, because in the power of God, God sees the whole picture. And quite frankly, family, when we're all in heaven, are we going to compare notes? Oh, you died 10 years before me. What a rip. No, it's not going to be like that. And therefore, we've got to be careful, because I think what the world does is what Paul says, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So send in the clowns. No, the reality is, life is full of God incidents, not coincidences. So here's what I want to leave with you today. I want you to keep your eyes open, and I want you to see what God is doing through you and all around you. And I'll guarantee you, when you're done looking, none of us will be able to say, isn't that an amazing coincidence? You with me? Okay. Father, I want to thank you for a chance to remind us all that this life is not random, that things are not based on luck, chance. This is not about spinning a roulette wheel, taking a gamble. This is about trusting in a Father who loves us more than anyone in the entire world. This is about reminding ourselves, as we have in Psalm 139, that even before we began to live, when we were being formed in our mother's womb, you knew the days of our lives. It was no coincidence. No fluke. And so, Father, my prayer is that all of us this week would live this life with more confidence than maybe we've had in quite a while. That literally, we would be ready with a new sense of vigor to give a word of the hope that lies within us, because the world is scrambling for hope in the midst of looking through randomness. And so, Lord, remind us that our hope is not random, that you're not random, and that all that we have and where we are going to spend eternity is not random either. And so, Lord, thank you for reminding us of great truths. And in all of this, Lord, would you help us to rest in you more? And as your word says, not lean on our own understanding, because you know what is going on for every member of our family and in our personal lives. Thank you, Jesus, for for all that you've revealed to us through coming to the earth and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father that we have. We appreciate all that the three of you do for us. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.